So, thank you for inviting me, Steve, to be part of this period of studying Joseph, as recorded in the Old Testament book of Genesis. So, Steve has given us the topics to preach about, and the topic for today is learning from our suffering. Okay, so this is, I think, week four of the study. And I think perhaps before I move forward, maybe it's worth just looking back at what we've learned so far about Joseph. So it started off week one when Steve gave a very detailed overview of the story of Joseph, talked about his family, his journey, and particularly about his nature, his character. He was a righteous boy, 17 years of age, and most important was he had the goodness of God in him. And then week two, I missed the service, but I believe that the subject was about how God, Joseph's and his siblings, the interaction with that, and how God was using other people to fulfill his plans. I think week three was last week. And I know when Ruth was asking around about, if anyone remembers about last week's service, for me, last week's service was one of the most inspirational service that I've worshipped in at this church. Yes. Honestly, the music was overwhelming. I spent the whole week last week just thinking about integrity. I think that's the word that Ian actually majored on. Integrity. And for me, integrity, so Ian made me understand exactly what integrity meant, particularly as a Christian person. I mean, I've been a Christian for many, many years now that I dare to remember. But the story that came to my mind when I was preparing for today, like integrity, it reminds me of a story of two sisters who, they loved each other, but like women, there was always competition between them. And the older one had a daughter who was basically more like a mom, very feisty, you know. She would say what she has to say without any. So the younger sister was visiting the older sister, and the daughter of the older sister came and sat on the lap of the younger sister and was just focusing on her face. So the younger sister said, "Why are you looking at me like that?" And she says, "Oh no, only because mom said you got two-faced." You see, so the question is, which one of the sisters had integrity? So that was all this week, that's what I was thinking about. And for me, I think the bit that I struggle with regards to integrity is the fact that all of us, I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, how we live at home does not 100% mirror how we live outside. I mean, I can say that about myself. I can speak about myself. But if, as I said, I'm very honest with myself, I am not 100% the same at home as I am at work, or even as I am in church. So the challenge for me after last week was to try and find out how I can get those three faces or two faces of myself to come into one. And that's what I've been praying for this week. Okay? So The other thing that really filled me with last week's service was the music. The music was resounding. You know, I know Ian from the other church because that's where I started worshiping when I first came here, before I moved to Mount Chapel. But for some reason, the service was so uplifting last week. And even as I stand here today, I'm still overwhelmed, you know, by worshiping last Sunday. However, we move forward. So today, Steve has asked me to look at lessons learned from suffering, especially when we're suffering for God. Okay. I'm new to this sort of. Normally, I have what's it called? I would just say what I want to say, but I believe this is important. That's why I put it on a slideshow so that all of us can follow and not just me. Okay? So, the passage that has been recommended is Genesis 39:19 up to Genesis 40, verse 23. I do not intend to read all of it because it goes through three slides, but really, I think I just want to pick up some of the key points, right? And he says, while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. This is the theme from last week as well, right? And he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he made him responsible for all that was done there. So basically, following on from last week, Joseph got accused wrongly by Potiphar's wife for stuff that he didn't do. And then, as a result, the master threw him in the dungeon. They said in prison, but when you read commentaries, it refers to it as a dungeon. It's like a basement room below the house. That's why he was locked up with other prisoners. So can you imagine this 17-year-old kid, you know, done nothing wrong, and then ended up in this dungeon? It must have been scary. But, as the Bible says, Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So, we move on to chapter 40, verse 1. Now, this is when, whilst Jacob was in prison, the king, Pharaoh at the time, had all these various people that ministered to him. So, one of them was, they call him chief cupbearer. So, in modern day, the chief cupbearer is somebody, is like a butler, apparently, like the queen. I believe one of my somebody I knew was once worked with Queen Elizabeth, and it was called Keith Ireland, and he was telling me about all the protocols that you have to follow when you are in the presence of the queen. Can you imagine? So things like, if the queen is attending a banquet, they have somebody specialist there who goes in advance to taste the food, to taste the drinks as well. So the cupbearer's role, the chief butler, that was their role, to make sure that whatever comes to Pharaoh, the king, and the rest of the royalty is fit for purpose. And then the other one was the chief baker. So they must have upset Pharaoh badly for him to throw them into prison. You can imagine, like, you know, having sat with the queen or the king, you know, in high places, and then to be thrown in prison, in a dungeon. That must have been very upsetting for them. But as the Bible says, when they got thrown in prison, Joseph, lowly Joseph, this little boy, was put in charge of these high and mighty people. So how overwhelming would it have been for Joseph? But the reason why that was possible, as we said, previous slide, because God was with him. Joseph had the goodness of God in him. And everywhere he went, people saw it in him. And for me, that is the thing, like I said, I go back to what we talked about earlier about integrity. Integrity, sometimes you don't need to say anything. People just seeing you, who you are, and people then believe what you say. So even at work, sometimes somebody will come up to me to speak to me. Funnily enough, I digress here. About 3 weeks ago, because we do, in where I work, no one has an office as such. We do hot desking. So you can sit wherever there is a spare desk. So I was fortunate about 2-3 weeks ago, the guy who sat next to me was a committed Christian. And then somebody had told him that I am a Christian as well. So he just introduced himself to me, and straight away we started talking about God. It was just amazing. You know, he studied at Rosham, that's where I used to live. He studied at Manchester Uni. And I trained at Luther King House, which is not far from there as well. So that's how the conversation started. So sometimes, I think, if we work hard to bring our two faces together into one, people would see God in us. And when they see God in us, then we would have at least, you know, started our mission of letting people know the God that we serve. Okay? So, continuation. These two people in authority who were in prison with Joseph, after a while, they dreamt. Incidentally, they both dreamt the same day, but different dreams. And then, because Joseph was in charge of them, he looked at them the morning after, and he saw that they were very sad. So he inquired, you know, what was the reason for their sadness. And that's what is recorded here in chapter 9. Sorry, in verse 9. So they then explained their dreams to Joseph. Now, the first one, the chief butler, he said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine tree in front of me. And on the vine tree, there were three branches. As soon as I budded it, it blossomed. And its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." So you can imagine that, somebody telling you that, think, what's that? But you see, Joseph was given a gift by God. And he used this gift to interpret the dream for the chief butler, or the cup, sorry, the cup, chief cupbearer. And after he's explained the dreams to him, I think the baker also thought, hang on, maybe I might as well tell you about my dream too, so that you can explain it to me. So the baker also told Joseph, his dream. But the one point that must not be missed here is when Joseph interpreted the chief butler's dream, he asked him, said, "Please, when you get reinstated into the palace, don't forget me. Please." So, on Pharaoh's birthday, everything that Joseph predicted came to pass. The chief butler and the chief baker were called up in celebration of the occasion. And as Joseph had predicted, the chief butler was reinstated into Pharaoh's community again, as the chief butler, putting in a position of trust again, the one that had to taste the king's food before he eaten it. But unfortunately for the chief baker, his own situation was not the same. And as he says in Genesis, it was gruesome what happened to him. Okay? So, we go back to the question, suffering for God. You see, Joseph's suffering started from when he was sold as a slave. He was dumped in a pit by his brothers and sold off to a land that he'd never been before. But then it continued up to the point where he was had been accused for committing a crime that he was innocent of. So the lesson there is that as Christians, suffering sometimes, it would frequent us, no matter where we are or what we do. Sometimes it fits into God's greater plan for our lives. And that is difficult to understand. Say, if God is this good person that we worship, that we believe in, why does he allow suffering in this world? And it's a question that personally, you know, I think you have to answer that for yourselves. Nobody can tell you how you feel, or anyone can tell you what you must think. Faith is an individual aspect in life. You worship God because the Spirit of God is in you. And therefore, you follow what the Bible says. But, as he says in Luke 14:25, Jesus says, if you want to follow me as my disciple, there's a cost. And you have to pick up your cross and follow me. And the cross that Jesus is talking about is not the cross that I hang on my neck. It's a different type of cross. And that discipleship process is compared in Ephesians as the process that people, metallurgists, undergo when they purify metals. So like, for example, when you're purifying gold or silver. See the picture there? That is a process of purification for gold. You have to put the material through intense heat. I think I was reading about it last night, and we talked about seven processes where you come from the dust material to the point where we have the gold necklace or the gold watch that we wear. It goes through some very, very torturous process. And that's what our faith and our discipleship process is compared to. It's going through some heated situations. And sometimes, like I said before, you ask yourself, you know, where is God in all of this? And that's what Joseph found out, that God's process of refining us for his own work does involve suffering sometimes. Now, Joseph's suffering. See, I'm going to show off now because this is like... This isn't like a physics, those who did physics or engineering. You know, it's called a sine wave. And I would like to compare Joseph's suffering to a sine wave. He started off on point A. And then life was good in his father's house. Everything was good. His father saw that he had a gift. And he progressed in his father's home. He got right to the top where he says point B. He was like, you know, the ultimate sort of person in the father's house, to the point where his brothers got jealous. And out of that jealousy, they planned to get rid of him. So, from point B, his life started going downhill. When his brothers decided that they would chuck him in this pit and go walk away and leave him there. But then they decided, well, maybe let's just try and get rid of him properly. And they sold him They sold him, and the person who bought him as the slave took him to Egypt. So from point C, he went back into the trough. In Egypt was the worst place for him. He's never been there, doesn't know anyone there, and at that time, Egypt was not the best place for Christian mission, for people who believe in God. So, there he was, in the middle of this trough. But, as the Bible says, God was with him. We must remember that. God was with him. And as a result of that, prison, the home that he was sent to, in Potiphar's house, he then became so useful. His demeanor, his attitude, his faith and everything was recognized by Potiphar. And Potiphar then, from point D, decided that he would put him in charge of the household. So again, his stock rose from D, he went to E, and then he rose again, where he was like the chief, looking after all the other workers that were in the household. And next thing, Potiphar's wife decided, no, it was going to cause trouble for, she was going to cause trouble for him. And then, again, Joseph's life dropped. So, this is not dissimilar from the lives that we live, or the life that I live. As a Christian, my life has been a series of troughs and also crests, or been a series of mountaintop moments and valley moments. But the point that I want to make here is the red line that runs horizontally that says time. All through Joseph's situation and circumstances, that line was constant, and for me that represents God. So no matter what we're going through, no matter how difficult life can be, we must recognize God is always there for us. We just have to reach out to Him. God knows our circumstances. God knew Joseph's circumstances. And even though Joseph was going through crests and troughs, he never forgot the role that God was playing in his life. And also, God never left him. So, Joseph's suffering. First, like we said, he got dumped in this wilderness where his brothers put him. And then, as he was beginning to get his life together, he descended again into Egypt, the sinful place where he was sent there as a slave. And just as he was beginning to move up again, he descended into a prison dungeon for accused of a crime that he did not commit. So why did God allow all of this to happen to this 17-year-old kid who actually had the faith in him? So the explanation we get from various commentators is that his suffering was to fit with God's plan. So, learning the lessons from suffering. I skimmed through quite a lot of commentaries to find an answer to this. Why does God allow us to suffer? And there were masses and masses of explanations. But for want of time, I think I've only just chosen a handful. So in Joseph's case, God allowed the suffering to happen because God was molding him for better things. Secondly, God was protecting him from further temptation, because if he was still in that house, who knows what other plans Potiphar's wife would have concocted for him that perhaps could have led to his death. So God removed him from that situation by allowing the suffering to happen, for him to be put in the dungeon prison. Thirdly, as he says in Genesis, because Joseph was in the prison, the God was with him, and the people saw that God was with him, and he brought light to the people. He also brought blessings to them, but above all, he brought hope to them. Just like we found out for the chief butler who was in that dungeon with him, he had no hope. But with Joseph being there, Joseph was able to interpret the dream and gave him hope or something to look forward to. Fourthly, sometimes when God puts people through testing and suffering, it's because he wanted to boost our faith. And this was no different for Joseph. God wanted to boost his faith. And therefore, he put him in a position where he was going to be tested, severely tested, just like we test for gold and silver, to purify him, to get him into a state where he was free of sin. Now, finally, God perhaps allowed Joseph to suffer because God had plans for him, and therefore it was something that would be good for the kingdom of God eventually. Because like the Bible says, he must have been in that scenario for about 13 years. He started off with him being 17. But then when you read the Bible, I think he says he was at Pharaoh's court at the age of 30. And then by the time the chief butler was released and everything, and Joseph eventually got released, he must have been maybe another 2 to 3 years. So it was probably from 17 years old, you know, the suffering that he went through. But Joseph suffered because of his brother's rebellion. But God used that evil for good, not just for Joseph, but for the community that he was part of. And the question is today is, if you have a bad situation, are you able to trust God to turn that bad situation into a good one? Even if the suffering, the situation that you're going through is lasting longer than you envisage, are you able to trust God? And I think you have to answer that yourself, really. To close, I just want to give a testimony. So a friend of mine marriage was going through difficult times. I think for about 3-4 years, his marriage was really on the rocks. And he's a devoted Christian person, and his ex-wife is also a devoted Christian person, and they prayed. He also fasted and prayed, but then nothing moved. But he was a committed Christian, and he's still a committed Christian. Put everything to God in prayer. Nothing happened. But then, all of a sudden, things started to change, whereby what he was hoping for, i.e. reconciliation, did not work out that way. Instead, God was making another way for him to have peace. And he continued to pray. And he always said that the passage that remained with him was Romans 8 verse 28, which says, "For in all things God works for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That was the passage that kept him going. And today, wife is divorced or separated from his wife. He's living a happier life. And his suffering, he said, has made him become more, his suffering has made him boosted his faith in God to the point where he feels now even more closer to God than ever before. So, what is it that you're suffering from? What is it that you're going through that you want to bring to God this morning? See, I must confess that the friend that I was talking about was actually me. And I thank God from where he's brought me to where I am now. And I hope and pray that whatever you're going through, as long as you put your faith in God, whatever suffering you're going through, believe me, there is always a mountaintop moment. I have enjoyed so many mountaintop moments over the past 2 years that I care to thank God for. Every day I wake up, I pray to God. If I get to work, I mean, even simple things like finding a place to park that I don't have to pay for, I thank God for that. And before I go to bed, I thank God for that. But I do not kid myself to believe that because I believe in God, it's always going to be good things. No. If you believe in God, like we say, please remember, it's going to be a life of peaks and troughs, mountaintops and valley. All you got to do, remember, God is constant and everything would work out for you as long as you trust him. Amen. Amen.
Great. You want to pray? Thank you very much, Sammy. Yeah, great, thank you. Yeah, let's pray. Lord God, you know that we don't ask for difficulties. We don't ask for challenges and for suffering. But we acknowledge that you use every situation. That you don't waste anything. Everything that comes across our path that you use to shape us and to develop us and to grow us. Lord, we thank you for your love that is so strong and so it's just so strong and so jealous for us that you want us to move on. You want to bring us forward. You desire a closer relationship with us. For us to be closer to you, to have a stronger faith in you, to have our feet firmly planted on you, our rock. And so you call us on, you call us forward through the mountaintops and through the valleys. You are there with us. We thank you, Lord, that you know, when we see the news and we see what's going on in the world, that we can focus on you, our rock, that you are consistent, that we have a hope and a future in you. We will go through difficult times. We are called to pick up your cross and to follow you. And we accept that because we know that you will be with us always through those challenging times. And I pray, Lord, that as a church, as a body of Christ, that we would support one another through those times, that we'd celebrate through the mountaintops, that we would wrap round in the valleys, that we would encourage one another and build one another up and remind each other of the hope that we have. Praise your name. Amen.